It's Rivalry Thursday. Welcome to Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, and today we are atop the hill. We're at the hill that is the home of Campbell County Cougar football, and tonight it's Campbell County playing host to the Dragons of Clinton. And Vince Ferrara, of course, as I mentioned, on hand. We've got a lot in store. Look forward to talking some Tennessee football, obviously, some Tennessee basketball. We look forward to being joined by Mark Packer, as he'll join us to start hour number two of the program. We always go with our practice report a little bit earlier on Rivalry Thursday because Eric Kane does a part of the broadcast. So he'll join us around 4:25. But we also look forward to being joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com for his weekly visit. That'll be in hour number three of the show. We'll have your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. We'll have VFL and all-around great guy Steve Hamer join us for Hamer Time around 6:15. And we look forward to catching up with CBS college football analyst as well as former college coach Rick Neuheisel. So we have all that and more today on Sports Talk. Vince Ferrara, how are you?
I am good, John Wilkerson. Hope you're doing well.
Could not ask for better weather to be in Campbell County, could you?
No, it is gorgeous. It's a great setting for football. Not only the backdrop, but, you know, being up here elevated on the hill, as you mentioned. My first time here, called numerous Campbell County football games, but it's when they have played in Knox County on our KOC game of the week is the, you know, the Cougars as a road team, but first time that I've been to this venue. So just really cool.
Yeah, it is a treat. It's a fantastic community. Always enjoy the opportunity to come up here. And we should point out that it will be Brian Rice and Eric Ainge on the call tonight for Campbell County and Clinton, which you'll be able to hear on the Sports Animal. But Vince, it wasn't the result the Smokies were looking for, but they were in it. They just failed to win it when it came to the championship, the league title last night. But it certainly was a big night for Aaron Judge.
It was, as Aaron Judge, who 61 years after Roger Maris did it and tying the American League record for home runs, hit his 61st home run. Pretty unbelievable. And, of course, Roger Maris did it in 1961. So a lot of connections there. Great call on the Yankees radio network. Did it against the Blue Jays. So setting that record, Aaron Judge with the home run record in time, Roger Maris, pretty cool stuff as he's been chasing history for a while. What was your reaction to that, John?
Yeah, well, it was something, and it's not out of the ordinary to see somebody get to where he got, because you had to wait a little while. And then it's like, okay, so you don't want to do anything out of the ordinary, anything that changes how you approach things at the plate, but then you start to get a little impatient. And to hear his remarks after he did it, just really impressed. You can't be he's put together a remarkable campaign, and to think that it's a year in which he at least ties and now has the chance to set the American League record for home runs in a season and at the same time lead in the Triple Crown categories, it's just a fantastic accomplishment, and it'll be really something to see how it plays out over essentially the last week of the season. So he has been fantastic, and it's great to see him be able to stay healthy, which has been a bugaboo for him. But it wasn't a surprise to hear that, yeah, it took a little while, and he couldn't have been more gracious in terms of thanking the Maris family for following along, because they've kind of had, Roger Maris' son essentially put his life on hold so he could be on hand when the moment happened. I think he's very deserving. And, again, the year that he's put together, the way he's led the Yankee franchise, I just think it truly is one of the special campaigns you could hope to see.
No doubt about it. And I know the Yankees are a love or hate franchise for sure for baseball fans, but Aaron Judge is one of the more likable players in Major League Baseball. And not only does he handle himself with class, especially considering, you know, all the contract stuff that was looming and not getting that deal done and playing through this year, but there's not any whispers of him doing things illegally or with performance enhancers. You don't hear those kind of whispers about Aaron Judge. So I like the fact Major League Baseball, I'm sure, is thankful that they've got this kind of history chasing and now reaching going on with one of their stars. and there's not the suspicion of it being tainted, considering some of the past home run records and other records that have been with guys that have, you know, that were tied to, that we know, or at least suspected to have partaken in performance enhancers.
And you'd be talking about the three guys that were able to hit more than 61 home runs in a season.
Yes, I think so.
At least an asterisk or a footnote, something along the lines, that's for sure. Yep. But why don't we go ahead and jump into some news and notes, as we started with the big news for Aaron Judge. And, of course, they're brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you trust. And so, Vince, I'll let you take it from there after sharing what has been a great relationship you've had with Image Matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Image Matters helps us out in printing our color-coded spot charts. They look great, always impresses everyone every time we go to different venues. They do an awesome job, not only the quality, but the efficiency of their work. So go by. I trust them, and you should as well with your print and copy works. Appreciate them being a part of the show here on Sports Talk with News and Notes. So the SEC released the league 2023 season softball schedule, which of course included Tennessee. So two home tournaments for the Tennessee Lady Vols softball team. They'll be on the road for three tournaments. They'll have four midweek games, eight SEC weekend series, of course, and that schedule released by Tennessee today. So they will play in several tournaments mentioned on the road. They typically do play in a really challenging non-conference schedule. They'll go back to my hometown of Tampa, who certainly caught a break with everything with Hurricane Ian and it going south. And certainly our thoughts with everyone impacted, not only the direct line of the hurricane coming ashore, but then all of the weather and the flooding and other damage, the power outage, so much devastation in those communities, Naples, Fort Myers. So thinking about everybody there, and hope that everybody can bounce back, and the there's not you know, much loss for life, and that won't continue. But Tampa has hosted the USF tournament and do a great job down there. So the Lady Vols softball team will be going there. That will include that tournament. The USF tournament will include Michigan State, USF, Clemson, and Illinois, Chicago. So we'll have the full schedule up at 99.1thesportsanimal.com a little bit later on, and then the SEC tournament will take place in Arkansas. You got the Thursday night football game tonight. It's the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals. John making his prediction, going with the Cincinnati Bengals to get win number two on the year. And so Thursday night football will be very interesting. Now, Tua Tagovailoa is expected to play tonight after, of course, he left the last game against the Buffalo Bills, which was initially thought to be a head injury. He came back. Dolphins and Tua said, no, it was his back. So there was some question, investigation on what happened there. So apparently he is cleared. He's good to go. He and Jalen Waddle, who is back banged up, both of those guys will go tonight for the undefeated Miami Dolphins, who played an awesome schedule. I mean, they beat New England, Baltimore, and Buffalo. And that's a resume for you to start the year for the 3-0 Miami Dolphins. So that'll be fun tonight. Joe Burrow versus Tua. Alabama versus LSU, another tie-in there. Speaking of Tampa, the Bucs-Chiefs game that was thought to be in jeopardy to be played in Tampa because of Hurricane Ian, but it's cleared out in Tampa. My family and friends say, man, it was a beautiful, like, fall, clear, cool day in Tampa. And that typically happens with storms, with tropical storms. Once they move through, it sucks out all of the clouds and bad weather, takes it with it, and then it leaves just gorgeous weather on the back end. So weather will not be an issue, not expected to be an issue on Sunday. So the Bucs and Chiefs will play as originally scheduled at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. SEC football tonight, as because South Carolina, not out of the woods, they're probably going to get, and who knows, maybe we will here as well, but South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, maybe even some parts of eastern Tennessee, going to see in the Northeast, going to see now Tropical Storm Ian and the remnants of it with all the rain and everything move inland and then up the coast. So South Carolina getting ahead of that, move their weekend game with South Carolina State to tonight. South Carolina and South Carolina State, they're playing here this afternoon. So we'll have to get you a score update here in just a moment. I thought that was a night game, but apparently that was during the day. So we'll get you an update on that. Chris Landry, football reporter, has his list of the top Heisman candidates. He has Hendon Hooker third on that list. C.J. Stroud at number one, and then Jaden Daniels, from Kansas quarterback. He is at number two with Hendon Hooker at number three. Here are the SEC football lines for the rest of the weekend, the Saturday and Sunday games. Undefeated Ole Miss and undefeated Kentucky. That's the ESPN noon spot. Can Ole Miss, 7-point favorites in that one. The CBS 3:30 Eastern time game is undefeated Alabama at 17.5-point favorites over Arkansas, 3-1. That game in Fayetteville, line opened at 19. Alabama, the only team in the country that has not allowed a passing touchdown on the season. Arkansas has struggled mightily against Alabama, and we'll see if Arkansas can get off the schneid against the Crimson Tide in that Saturday CBS slot game. 4 o'clock Eastern time, Texas A&M at 3-1, coming off the win over Arkansas, at 3-1 Mississippi State. Mississippi State, a 4-point favorite in Starkville, line opened at 1.5. So a lot of people on the side of the Bulldogs. LSU at 3-1, at 3-1 Auburn. How about the way this line has moved? This will be 7 o'clock on ESPN. Auburn opened up somehow as a 1.5-point favorite. LSU is now an 8-point favorite. 9.5 points, the movement on that line. And then the last game on Thursday, 7:30 Eastern time, of course, number one Georgia at 4-0, at 2-2 Missouri, coming off of their inexplicable loss at the Auburn Tigers. Georgia, 28-point favorite. And then there's a Sunday game at noon Eastern time as well. It's Eastern Washington at 2-2 Florida. No line on this right now, probably because they had moved this game this week to Sunday. Florida opened as a 30-point favorite. So that's a look at the SEC lines. We'll get you a score update on South Carolina, and that is our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
Technology you need, people you trust. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Boatload of stuff coming your way. As again, it's Rivalry Thursday, and that means we're brought to you by OEB Law and by our friends at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. This is Sports Talk at Campbell County High School as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. It's our privilege to be atop the hill here at Campbell County High School, where tonight the Cougars play host to Clinton. Should be one whale of a game. And without question, it has been just two outstanding back-to-back efforts by Campbell County that have come up just short. And I don't think that any question, Vince, that the Cougars are going to try and get back on the winning track with tonight's contest against a much-improved Clinton team.
Yeah, for sure. And caught up with Clinton's coach at KFOA Media Days, and I know Campbell County was there also. So just cool to be here in Jacksboro to be able to witness this one tonight. And will be fun because Clinton's going to bring it. And, you know, Campbell County, who with those wins that you mentioned at 3-3 on the year, let's see. Actually, I think their most recent one, they had the couple of shootouts.
Yes. Lost by a point to Kingston. The Yellow Jackets last week.
Yep. Let's see.
And then I think the week before that, it might have been Carnes.
Yes. Kingston in Rome County. Yeah, 41-40, and then the week before, 36-33. They lost their first game this year against Chattanooga Central, then reeled off three straight wins over Heritage, Lenoir City, and Morristown East, and then the last 2 weeks have been those really close losses by a combined 4 points to Carnes and Kingston. So looking to get back on track. Clinton comes in at 4-2 into this matchup. So will be a fun one here at Campbell County.
Yeah, and again, you couldn't ask for a better night for high school football. It is just crystal clear skies as we're here. Only you just see a few white clouds on the far horizon. But did want to throw out the fact that what you had was partially updated information, and that is the day of the game for South Carolina and South Carolina State is correct, but the kick time was a little off according to what you were looking for from the conference.
Yeah, the SEC in their notes, they moved the game up from Saturday at noon to Thursday, but they didn't change the kickoff time. So they left it at noon. That's why I incorrectly said it was a noon kickoff today, which would have been odd. And if you're trying to actually get some fans there, weekday football in the SEC.
Wouldn't that have been something?
It's maybe during COVID when nobody was there, perhaps. But, South Carolina, South Carolina State, 7:30 on the SEC network, 7 p.m. kickoff tonight on the SEC network. So just want to clear that up.
And then what we'll do is go ahead and grab a break here, reminding you that we're brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, as well as OEB Law when it comes to Rivalry Thursday. When we return, we'll hear from Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes as he took questions yesterday. Stay with us. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues, and while Tennessee football enjoys a week off, its open date on this year's schedule, we've seen both Tennessee basketball programs get fired up with their as practice is now officially underway. Yesterday, we brought you comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper, so today, let's bring you remarks from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes.
Coach, I know it's early. What are your early feelings about the team? What do you like?
Well, you know, I go back. I think we had a really good spring. Then we follow that up with some young guys that came in early in the mini master. Then obviously we got going. Some of the guys were away with the foreign teams, which gave a couple of the new guys a lot of chance to get a lot of reps. And, you know, when you think about the official day of practice being yesterday, what that really means, because we get to practice, you know, year round when school's in session, where we basically now go from an 8-hour week to a 20-hour week, which very seldom do we use that because of the fact that it's a long season. And we're even conscious right now of older guys that we know that are going to put in a lot of mileage for us this year, that we try to, you know, protect them as much as we can this time of year. But overall, I just like the way that the chemistry, again, has been really good, and the work ethic maybe as good as we've ever had, and which is a good thing. But that comes from, I think, leadership with our older guys.
Olivier was one of those guys that was playing away on his national team. Just what did you see from him and playing in those games and then just coming back from injury when he got back over here as well?
Well, I thought the big thing with him going back and getting to play with his national team was simply he got to play basketball up and down, where, you know, we during, you know, different times of year we do different things. It's not like we're playing 40-minute games or practices, you know, sometimes in the half court, sometimes up and down. But that was valuable for him, being able to go back and really just play some really competitive games with some really good competition and good players. But coming back, you know, he came back and was with us for about a week, I think, before he had to go back again. And we're just wanting him to pick right back up where he left off, because he had really started coming into his own a year ago. And no one's more dedicated, committed to doing that than he is.
You mentioned the strong leadership on this team. Does that make it easier for some of the newcomers to kind of come in from ground running?
Well, you know, we tell the newcomers that when they come in, if they're smart, they'll really take great notes and notice and hitch their wagons to those older guys. And I think that we've seen that probably more so with this group than any. And our older guys have, you know, they've done a terrific job with these young guys. They really have. Just letting them know, you know, how we want things done, and you know, letting them know that we're very much a detail-oriented program, if you do what you're supposed to do, it's going to all work out and everything's going to be fine, and just take care of the details and work hard every day. And but our older guys have done a really good job.
Rick, how has this offseason been different from years past, if at all?
No, it was different, certainly at the end of the year with, you know, the transfer portal being what it is today, the NIL coming in a rush, really, it's been a long, I'm not sure we even felt like an offseason because it was one thing right after the other with more visits than normal because of the transfer portal, which I think obviously the NCAA is going to have to adjust that rule where just there's more opportunities to have prospects visit, so we're going to have more visits. But from a program standpoint, again, I'm just really pleased with the effort that all of our guys made in the offseason.
What have you learned about Tyreek that you didn't know when you got here?
His versatility. He's a terrific instincts. We're telling him that we'd like to see him play the point some and learn different positions. But he's got a game where he can be effective in so many different ways. Just an incredible work ethic. Committed to, he's tough on himself, but he brings it every day. I mean, he's never fought us on one thing, he's going to make a huge impact for us because of his versatility.
Coach, is BJ on the ball guard, off ball guard, and have you seen enough to know if they can help this year?
You know, if you really pressed me really hard and asked me who I was probably most surprised with during summer, it'd probably be BJ. And the fact that, he had to go against Zakai with Santi being gone. He had to go against Zakai every single day. And just like Kennedy a year ago, I mean, I think certainly BJ would say the same thing, that it was as tough as it was great for him because, Zakai is one of those guys. It's never an off season. He's in mid-season. And he's in season form all the time, and the way he brings it every single day. And watching BJ handle that every day was really neat. And again, somewhat surprised me, to be quite frank. But yet, he's really worked hard at trying to get consistent with his shot. He's deceptive, but the one thing that we do know is that he's very competitive, and he's willing to buy into whatever role that we know that we need to put him in right now.
Is he point guard or shooting?
I think both. I think he's both. I mean, when he first got here, he strictly played the point. I mean, all summer long, but we wanted to be off the ball because with the group that we have, we'd like to get our guards rebounding more and going with it, and knowing multiple positions help all of them because it gives them a chance to obviously not be just locked into one position.
What about where's Jonas Graham this offseason?
Well, he's stronger, and he's put more time in it. I think he's still understanding how hard he's going to have to play with the speed of the game, and because we want to play faster than we've ever played, and for that to happen, we need everybody to understand that. He's definitely improved. One of his great strengths is that he really can shoot the ball. We don't have a problem with him shooting it as long as he's doing all the other things that we need from his position, because he's worked hard at shooting the ball. But we still need he and Uroš and Olivier and Tobey. Those guys need to give us some a presence inside, and we need that from them alone. We're going to use our guards in there some because we think we have guards that can do some of that.
What about this team makes you want to play so fast?
Just the skill level, the speed that we have, and the fact that, I think if we can get down the floor, spread the floor, we've shot the ball well, but as you know, there's going to be nights when it's not going the way you want it to, and we've really made a conscious effort to get better rebounding on both ends. We need to certainly get better there, but just with the versatility we have on the perimeter, we think that we should be able to play quicker, faster.
Comments from Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes. Vince, what stood out to you?
Yeah, what he was talking about there at the end and what he said. We want to play faster than we ever have. I think that was the most noteworthy thing of several things in what he said there. The speed, the athleticism that they have, wanting to be able to take advantage of them in the open floor, get easier shots, not be as dependent on the half court. will be the byproduct of them playing faster than they ever have. It's something that I think this team has been capable of, but maybe there's been some hesitation to at times. So there, it sets you up for a little bit more bogged down offensively. And those stretches, which has haunted this team at times, offensively, we go 5-6 minutes and not being able to score.
Yeah.
They're getting up and down the court. I think they can cut down on some of those.
And you wouldn't have thought with the personnel that they had at their disposal that they would have those, I guess, semi-regular lapses.
Right.
You just didn't think really it was possible, simply for the fact that you had a number of guys who had their ability to create their own opportunity, and yet for whatever reason, it was just one that you weren't exactly sure whether it was going to click offensively one night to the next. And I do think, though, that if you can do that, if you can find that consistency, especially with the way that the team played defense last year, you're going to have something that's pretty special.
For sure. The excitement over Jordan Phillips and the compliments, how surprised he was at B.J. Edwards. Tyreek Key has I think impressed a lot of people that have gotten their eyes on him. Interesting that he'll play some point guard. He's super strong. You've seen videos of him just throwing all kinds of crazy weight as well. I think the depth of their athleticism is probably the reason why Rick Barnes wants to play faster. Jonas Adu, it sounds like there's still work to do. I think he's going to be important. He and Olivia Kamwa in their offensive game advancement, they're going to need that. And the length on the floor that Adu can bring, he's athletic enough to run the floor. Also, when they want to play fast, that's the thing. When Urosh is on the floor because you need him for his inside minutes, he's not the guy to run the floor and keep up with the other guys. Jonas can do more of that with because he's slender and more athletic. So I think this team has the potential to be as deep as we've seen in a while, even though guys are still going to have to develop.
Yep. And then really like the just hearing that it was B.J. Edwards kind of locked up with Zakai Ziegler one day to the next since Vescovi was not with with the team. And I just think that that's going to be something that really benefits the probably the most promising newcomer of this year's class to join the team.
Yeah, because as Rick Barnes said, he's going up against a guy, Ziegler, who doesn't have an offseason. He's always in midseason form. He's always playing a ton of hoops. There's no drop-off or ramp-up for him, any of that kind of stuff. So it's a good challenge to face. And remember, Kennedy Chandler would talk about how going up against Zakai Ziegler would make him better. I think that's a huge plus. And the two representatives at Basketball Media Days that's coming up will be Josiah Jordan-James and Santiago Vescovi. So we'll get a chance to hear a little bit of both, how things have gone here from Joe, and then Vescovi, one of those guys that's played internationally and gotten a chance to play a lot of ball on that level too.
Sure has. So it'll be interesting to hear what they had to say and what's going through their mind as they get ready for another trip with the Tennessee basketball team. What we'll do is get a break and be back with a final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Campbell County High School, where tonight the homestanding Cougars play host to Clinton. We're brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair as you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal. Final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara.
John, yesterday we had a chance to talk to some Tennessee players after Josh Heupel gave us an open week update. And one of those guys is defensive lineman Bryson Eason, part of a nice contingent from Memphis on this team. Hit on a number of really interesting things. I thought he was very impressive, including talking about his journey from starting as a linebacker to an interior defensive lineman and more. Here is Tennessee defensive lineman Bryson Eason.
When you guys look back at the film, I'm curious to know how critical the coaches were, or is it more just praise because you guys won the game?
It was very critical. You know, we have a lot of things to work on, a lot of things to get better with. So, you know, just very so much critical, not too much praise, you know, so we can keep a level head and just, you know, keep getting better.
Outside of that big run against Pitt, you all have done a pretty good job of bottling up the run between the tackles. What do you feel like you all are doing well as a group to kind of bottle up the run in the games against Pitt and Florida?
I feel like that everybody's just doing their job, you know, doing what Coach Banks and our position coach is asking us to do, and you know, just being fundamentally sound and technical sound, and just doing everything that we're supposed to do, you know, personally and as a unit, as a group all together, because you know we are one, you know, as a whole unit. So I think that's really what it is. Everybody just tuning in and doing their job, and you know, it's whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying?
How important is it for you guys to play a lot of guys up front? I know that's what you've been doing so far this season. And how have you grown, your game grown from, you know, over the last 6 months or so?
I feel like it's very important because the D-line position is a very, very physical position. And, you know, you got to keep guys healthy. You got to keep guys having wins. So for us to have a good amount of guys to rotate and keep everyone fresh and, you know, just to have everybody fresh and produce is a great thing. And me personally, I feel like the guys in my room, the guys on the defensive unit, we can all keep each other going, all motivate each other, you know, very positive when some don't go our way or something like that. But me personally, I feel like, you know, it's the guys around me and the coaches, everybody that's around, that's in this building, that just helps me build confidence and allows me to be who I am and grow into the player they know I can be. So, yeah.
Bryson, you got in that game early and played a critical role early against Florida. How much confidence does that give you going forward? And what do you have to do to be more consistent so that you play that kind of role every week for Coach Garner's line?
It gives me a lot of confidence. It feels good just to know that he trusts me to put me in that situation. And confidence-wise, man, I just want to, you know, continue to get better. I mean, this position is kind of new for me, but just to keep getting better, learn all the techniques and play vertical, play fast, and just play for the guys out there that's on their field with me. That's really what it's all about for me.
Bryson, Coach Garner in preseason kind of talked about you making that transition, playing defensive tackle. What's it been like these first four games? Has there been anything that surprised you or maybe been harder or easier than you expected making that move?
I can say what surprised me, how physical that I've realized how physical I am personally, because I thought it was going to be a little bit more banging and a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, rough and tough up in there in the inside playing against the guards and sending things like that. But personally, I feel like I've been handling it well, you know, holding my own. So that's really what I take pride in, holding my own and playing for the power team, playing for my brothers next to me, you know what I'm saying, getting my best foot forward.
You talked about the coaches being critical, you guys coming off that game. How do you guys as a team sort of stay grounded during the top 10? You're undefeated. I know that's where you want to be at this stage, but how do you make sure that some of the success doesn't get to your head or anything like that?
They're preaching around the building, just take 1 week at a time, 1-0 each week. And even though, you know, that stuff is great, just how fast it came, it can be taken away even quicker. So we have to continue to get better and do better for us to this is not the end goal either. So we have to do better and get better each and every practice, each and every time we have an opportunity to just, man, keep a level head and just, you know, keep doing what we're doing so we can be where we want to be at the end of the day.
Bryson, you have to, I guess, being inside now, you probably practice more against Spraggins than you had before. And he was just named SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. I don't think he's allowed a sack this year. What kind of a player is he and what makes him effective there at guard?
Spraggs is a very physical guy, very, very physical guy. That's why I feel like what was surprising to me going against my O-line all fall camp versus the other guys, it's a huge difference. But Spraggs is a great player, brings a lot of energy each and every day. Like I said, physical. He's going to give you his best, so you got to give him yours unless you want to be somewhere on the ground somewhere. So, yeah, that's really what it is. I feel like we have one of the best O-line, you know what I'm saying, in college football. And shout out to those guys. And they did a heck of a job all fall camp to give us great looks and just be good for us on the other side of the ball.
Bryson, two things. One, how did we get here? You came to Tennessee as a linebacker. Now you're 300 pounds and on the inside. Take us through that sort of evolution to get you this spot.
I feel like a lot of weightlifting and a lot of eating, so it just plays hand in hand with each other. I mean, I really can't do nothing about it, but I'm gonna just embrace it and do the best I can to help this team out. But the journey has been crazy. I done moved from inside to Leo to end, not a tackle. But it's cool because it gives me a whole different perspective on the game. You know, I was used to playing on the second level, kind of on the second level back in high school, but now I'm on the first level. It's a whole different ball game, but I've been enjoying it. I've been embracing it and, you know, just trying to get better. And like I said, help this team in whatever way I can. So, yeah.
And to Mary McDonald, you've known most of your life. You said you guys have been together since you were eight. What's that experience like playing with him as a Memphis guy?
It's like a dream come true to play with somebody that I played with since like Little League and Pee Wee, and just to see us both out there doing what we love, and he know I'm rooting for him, rooting for me. It's great. It's really undescribable, though. And it's just a bond that'll never be broken. I'm happiest for him when he makes a tackle, when he makes a play. Just know how he is for me.
You talked about the depth that you guys have on the defensive line, but just for the rest of the team, how do you guys attack this open week, knowing that after it you have eight straight weeks of tough football to come?
I feel like that the way that the coaches are out and the way that we're being coached, they're not going to let us be, comfortable. So it's always room for improvement, some things we have to get better. They're very attention to detail. So it's all about the little things, the technical things that they're going to keep us working with and working on so we can, get better each and every week and be ready for those 8 weeks of straight ball that's coming up.
Bryson, what have you seen from Big O so far this season? And just there's a lot of Memphis sprinkled across the roster making plays right now. Just how much pride do you all take in that?
We take a lot of pride in it. Big O has been a great leader, a great role model in our room, and just showing the way. And I'm happy for him, excited for him, and I'm rooting for him as well to know that he's, a guy on this team, and he got all my support. And it's just great to watch, Feels good to see somebody that's a Memphis native just like me. We've grown a great, very, very, very close bond, and I'm just happy for him. I'm excited for him as well. And it's just great to see. Like I said, just great to see.
And so, comments from Vince. It was great to hear this young man talk about what his personal journey has been, his path in terms, as you mentioned, how he showed up as a linebacker and now right there in the middle of the defensive line.
I want to say he was in the 250s when he came in here. It was pretty big to begin with coming in, but he was an interior linebacker. Then he moved to that Leo spot, and then defensive end, and then interior line. He's a 300. Waits and eats, John. Waits and eats. And you could tell the pride, man, when he just glowed talking about Tamari McDonald playing with him and that Memphis contingent, and also Amari Thomas, Jabari Small. A lot of guys from Memphis, not only on this roster, but playing key roles.
That's right. So Bryson Eason in comments that he made earlier this week. We'll get a break and be back with hour number two of Sports Talk. That starts with Mark Packer of Rivalry Thursday. That's where we are, Campbell County High School. Tonight, the Cougars against Clinton. We're brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.